Good evening.
Good evening.
We have some new faces tonight. Welcome.
Thank you.
Very nice to see you. How did you hear about us?
I found you on the internet.
It's just about what everybody says. Yeah. Well, welcome. Do introductions around?
Wendy, Judy.
Judy.
And Shuka.
Anansi.
Marie. Karen. Sanya.
Oh.
Ellie.
Sayo.
And Angie. We are studying Chogyam Trungpa's book, Training the Mind, and Cultivating Loving Kindness. So we've gone quite a ways through it. We're in the 40s now. I think we're on 43 or 44. We're taking one every week and living it as best we can, seeing how it appears in our life and learning from it in that way. So it's real. It's not an idea anymore. It's the reality of how it is for us, our own self. So we were on number 43. Our homework was observing the refuge vow and the bodhisattva vow. Even at the risk of our life. So that's extreme. Do you remember the refuges are best protection, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Buddha, the one who expresses the Dharma in the Sangha, in the life of community, which is the life of the world. Life, not just human world, but all world is Sangha. It's the grass and the trees and the beetles and the frogs and the motorcycles and the cars and the stars. But mainly, he says, Chogyam Trungpa, that you should maintain the general livelihood of being a decent Buddhist. And then to practice mind training. Practice this Lojong, which is loving kindness. Cultivating compassion. Not as some large, expansive, expensive kind of gesture, but all the places and ways that we encounter in our life, the most simple ways, how we speak to each other, the ways that our mind encounters difficulties. Keeping the bond, he says. Keeping the three bodies of Buddha. Always returning to Buddha, returning to Dharma, returning to Sangha. It's our protection. It's the truth. So I wonder, how you applied this in your life. Did you risk your life? What dangers have we encountered that we we learned from and offered ourselves to?
An injustice that I saw was going down in our parking lot of the apartment building. Someone was infringing on my neighbor's space, and so I intervened, and I knew this person was not a real pleasant person. I didn't handle it all that well. I could have been a little more restrained. I just, you know, said, you're not centered in the space, you're infringing someone else's space. And he said, well, I have to do it because that car over there is digging my car. Well, she knew very well whose car that was.
Your car?
Yeah, it was my car. So I put my hand on her shoulder and I said, that's my car and I'm not digging your car. So she walked off in a huff. But that was not the end of it. Pretty soon there was a rumor going around that everybody knew was false, that I had hit her on the shoulder, or I had yanked her arm, and the friend whose space she was infringing on put a note on her door, on her window, requesting that she that she stick to her own space, but she has refused to be cooperative, and so my friend is just letting it go. But I was I think that's where I get caught up sometimes in getting a little emotional, is when I'm standing up for somebody.
Somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's when it's hardest to maintain that detachment. It still makes me mad that she's being a bully.
Yeah. I
fantasize about pelleting the car with broad names or something.
Well, as they say, it's an excellent opportunity to practice. And Lojong practice is about offering loving kindness, not just to our friends, but to our enemies as well.
But she really wasn't my enemy until I started studying it.
Yes, you invited it.
I invited it.
Yeah, you stepped in.
Yes. Is that not what we're supposed to do when we see injustice?
We talk about skillful means.
True.
And knowing human psychology and really studying the other and focusing on the other rather than oneself. So it's your sense of injustice that you're protecting.
Well, my friend was upset too. He was disgusted. And you know what really ticked me off was she wouldn't look me in the eye. She wouldn't acknowledge me as a person. She was just...
She wouldn't give you the power. And of course, she wanted the power.
Yeah.
And that's where the self comes in. That's why it's so uncomfortable. It feels bad all the way around because the self gets in there. It's very hard to give it up. And that's why it feels like you're risking your life if you abandon your own self-protection for the sake of this compassionate selflessness.
So what's an alternate scenario?
Well, I don't know because I don't know anybody, any of the people, but it seems like the best way is to find a kind way to talk it through with the friend who is actually suffering and let that be your guide.
Well, yes, we had talked it over. I mean, it was a problem.
Yeah. But you took it on yourself.
I just happened to be there at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
This friend can stick up for herself. And she is, but she's letting it go because this person is a known bully.
Mm-hmm.
And she's stepping back.
Mm-hmm. She's being wise, it seems, making some space.
Yes, probably. I mean, she's not... I'm stepping back too, but when I did confront her, I could have just been a little less emotional.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great example. I'm sorry. It was so unpleasant, but it's a wonderful example of how we do. You know, it's so typical of all of us.
But sometimes you have to get emotional to take action.
Usually you let the emotion work itself out and then do something. Acting on emotion usually leads to problems.
Well, I don't see this lady much. She has weird hours, so... That was just an opportunity, you know, that you had to grasp.
Yes.
But never, it won't happen again.
Yeah, and consider the emotions. Actually, that's your guide. That's the guide of how you know what to do. Equanimity was in the last one of these, wasn't it? When we talked about how if you go one way or the other way too far, you're in trouble. So staying in the middle and finding a balance without too much excitement. Then it's because we can't see clearly through our emotions. And clarity is the only way we can maneuver our way through our life. If we're not seeing clearly, it's like we really can't see at all. Even when we can see, we're bumbling. So, bumbling and stumbling.
Yeah. Well, I saw right away putting my hand on her shoulder was
wrong. Wrong.
Yeah. I don't know where I came up with that.
She probably thought you were a bully.
She
probably thought you were a bully because of you.
Yeah.
Did that.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
From her perspective.
If your friend wants to pursue it, she should talk to the management. They can give her much more grief.
Our
than
manager is not a non-manager.
Oh.
He's there in body.
And we slip the air out of her tires.
Samia?
I had a musking in the air. I had a similar experience this week too at the coffee shop. It's hard not to go into the details, but there's this woman that was part of, I go to the coffee shop every day, and we have a little nice community, good friends that we meet, and one lady kind of invited herself, which was fine, and later became very dramatic, and she started picking on everybody, and now eventually she doesn't sit with us, and she sits on her own and just walks and pretends that we don't exist, which is fine. But make a long story short, she came to grab one of the tables that were available, and we were all standing there, but we hadn't sat down yet, and she went and I said, oh, Germaine, we are going to sit here, or this lovely lady is going to sit here. And she looks at me, and she goes, who made you her mouth? You know, and I'm going, I didn't say anything. And she left and stormed. And she's been, you know, doing that. And I felt so strongly about talking to her in a loving way. She's a beautiful woman and dresses up every day. And we used to be good friends, been to my house and all of that. So, you know, I thought, you know, the loving way always works. So I went to her table, kind of knelt down because there wasn't enough room, and I proceeded to give her compliments. And I was kind of in tears because it was coming from the heart, and you know, I could tell on her face that she's trying to buy it, but she didn't want to, and then she proceeded to just cut me down, you know. And I left. I said, we'll leave it at that, and just left and went back to our table. That was, nobody knew that happened. Went back to the table and was very hurt. And then I said, okay, what's going on here? You know, you go with the intention of the loving way works. It didn't work. You know, I was hurt. It's like, is that working for me? It's like, no, it's not working for me. So do you give up on the loving way? But, you know, then I decided, because sometimes I tend to be too nice, which is okay, but I think the idea is not to get disappointed if it doesn't work, or I was attached that I'm going to fix it, and it didn't get fixed.
And it would make you feel better.
To what?
You would feel better if you
fixed it. Yeah,
yes.
Because it's creating a lot of commotion. It's not a nice place. Whenever she's there, she's like, you know. And I told her, you know, I don't understand. You know, you're a beautiful person. You're nice. Why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't think she even knows why. And, but it was on the edge. I almost lost faith in being nice. It's like, ugh. And if I told my husband, he'd probably go whack her and get the eggs and do all of that. So, yeah, it's the expectation of fixing something.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I love that about you. You know, you try to take care of things, and it's very nice.
Yeah.
But I don't think some people even see it. It's almost like I said, what a waste of time. Because I've been drinking my coffee. It got cold in the meantime. Well, but it's such a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
But are we talking about that? Are we talking about, you know, somebody's trying to kill me, you know, go for it? I mean, are we talking physically?
Not usually.
So that's not what we're talking about.
We're talking about the relationship of self to other, essentially. How we can risk our self, our pretense of self, for the sake of others, or not. And the not part is trying to keep the self intact in relationship to others and try to control so that we keep our sense of self-importance. We are cultivating the great me of ourself. If we give that up, it often feels like
people are walking over you.
Well, it feels like we're actually risking our lives. You know, in a way, you were keeping the encounter with her and trying to maneuver it into something that would make you feel better and make you and your idea of being loving and kind exist, rather than abandoning your sense of self and abandoning the situation and just letting it be what it was. It's always a question about action. Should we speak or not? Should we do something about it, whatever it is, or just let it be and let it work itself out? Be careful finding the space where you can go in and you can touch a situation. And be careful you're not in there in order to do something else. It takes real paying attention when we're in a situation of connection. Even with the trees and the stars and the grass, it's the same. It's very important to be really wide awake and truly connected, rather than bullying it into shape that is pleasing to me,
mm-hmm.
that I want, and it makes me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's perhaps, you know, just because I felt that I cared about her and all of that, that's really not being kind.
Not really.
I think it's kinder just to leave it alone,
yeah.
and have the strength to just walk by it and mm-hmm. not try to fix it.
Mm-hmm. That's hard to do. It's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Paul?
It's going around. We're having another put on our house, and we've been having trouble communicating with the roofer. We finally got a hold of the roofer today. We got a date. But my wife has been really upset about the whole thing because he hasn't been performing, hasn't been talking to us, hasn't been communicating. And she's been telling me all this and wanting me, of course, to agree with her. And to a certain extent, I did. But I caught myself trying to make it better, to make her feel better. And so this morning, we just had a terrible time. She was feeling bad. I didn't want to feel bad, but I was feeling bad because she was feeling bad. We went around in this spiral. And about noon, I gave it up. I just said, wait a minute, what the heck am I doing? And just dropped it. I felt better. She didn't, but that was her problem.
Yes.
You know, I realized I cannot do this. This is not where I should be. So
yes.
I got out of the game. I just quit the spiral. And then I said, oh, okay, I'm okay again. I'm back. It took a lot of doing because I was really wrapped into it with her.
Yes. Great example. Yeah.
I nearly lost my life.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, we're going to do kind of follow-up with this next one. It's called Training in the Three Difficulties. And the three difficulties are about how we deal with our own foolishness, our own kleshas. It's very helpful to notice when we're coming up with a hit of jealousy, of anger, of greed, of power, all the tricks that we play on ourselves, that we know ourselves so well, but we often don't notice. So this is encouraging us, one, to notice, and two, to stop. And he points out that in sitting, it's easier because since we're not distracted by anything else, whatever is foolish and greedy and ugly in our mind comes up naturally, and we can see it more clearly. And then we can become, if not friends, at least the way that we meet Mara, to say, I see you. I see you. This is coming up. This is what's here. Not to cultivate, but just to notice and not cultivate. Jogyam says, since neurosis basically comes from selfishness, from placing too much importance on yourself, the antidote is that you have to cut through your ego You have to have the determination not to follow the neurosis or continue to be attracted by it or to it. So he says, the difficulties are first, it's hard to recognize our kleshas. Second, it's hard to overcome them. And third, it's hard to cut through them. So what you should do is recognize them. Second, try to overcome them. And third, take a vow never to recreate such things again. He says it's very hard to relate with the Bodhisattva principle. It isn't that we're trying to be perfect. Training in the difficulties means that we're working at it. It's not that we're going to get to be some shining perfect person, but that we're just encouraging ourselves by being deeply noticing who we are all together. The beautiful parts and the ugly parts and the healthy parts and the very unhealthy parts. And the more we know, the more we are able to notice, the more we can work through what seems like a difficulty. Work through our three difficulties. He says, if you're willing to practice Lojong, your mind will be completely trained and indoctrinated into the Bodhisattva's way of thinking. The idea is to indoctrinate yourself so that you can't get away from that monolithic principle called Buddha nature, Bodhicitta, Tathagata Gaurata. So that's our coming week, our assignment for the week. And it should be interesting. Are there questions?
Angie, was it greed, jealousy? There were three, right?
Oh, I just threw out three. There are lots and lots of them. You can figure it out.
We can pick our favorite.
You could pick your favorite kleshas.
Okay.
You probably know them really well. There are lists. If you want to look it up, you can look up the list there. I've forgotten how many, but there are many. It's a long list. In fact, I'll pick that list up over the week and bring it next week. Well, it's 8:00. Do we have announcements?
Yes, we do. Jeffrey hasn't been here for a couple of weeks for medical reasons, so I have a card if you'd like to sign it. I'll put it back by the Donna Bowles. And the other request I have is Jikoji would like to know if you're spending the night or the week for Nehani Sashi. February 6th.
I can't remember the dates anymore because they keep changing.
I see. Well, it is on their website and it's on our calendar too. So that's coming up next month and they're trying to get a census. And Ellie might have an announcement.
Opening. We need some help opening because Jeffrey won't be
right.
I can open.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I'll keep open until he comes.
Okay.
Back.
I think he said he communicated. You got his email.
He said the rest of the month, but
but he may come, but he won't he may not be able to move chairs around, so that would be great.
I have
thank you for opening tonight.
Yeah.
I had lots of help, actually.
Oh, good.
And detail.
This is something that Brigitte sent me that was sent to her. There is a new Buddhist climate action network, and it's sent by the Karuna Buddhist Vihara, which is in Mountain View, and they're putting together a program of that's joining other programs across the country, applying Buddhist principles to ecology and climate protection. So it's new, and they're mobilizing. They want people to be interested and join up. So I will just leave this here by the flowers, and you all can take a look if you like. So shall we sit for 1 minute? Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, I vow to become it.
Did I break it when I saw it? No, it's okay. Yeah, last week something went.